Merciful Father, we just thank you one more time for the day that you've given us, for the blessings we enjoy in this life. Father, we, like John says and everyone says, sometimes those blessings just pop up in the least expected places, Father, and we realize what a blessed people we are. For all these prayer requests that have gone up from Brother Floyd and family requests and Wyndham's request, and pray for Brother Junior and James. Father, we just bring them up to you and offer them at your feet, Father, knowing that your will be done in their life. And we just thank you that we have this opportunity to enjoy them, to have them a part of our lives. We pray for our lesson as we go about today, Father, for the sermon that's going to be preached here, and the good news about going to Georgia, Brother Burrell, going to get down there. Stephen, hate to lose them, Father, but you've got a plan for them, and we just thank you that we've had a chance to nurture them, prepare for the role that you've got planned for them. So, Father, we just thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in this life. We pray, Father, that we take more time to look about us and see the blessings in our lives through all the hard times, but that make us stronger, and we'll be able to confront this life as it comes to us. So, Father, we just one more time praise you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his blood's salvation for us, Father. And all things, Father, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's his name we pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, last week we were dealing with in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Actually, we were down a little further than that. But we were dealing with people deceiving you as far as salvation goes, and how they have false gospels. And we mentioned the Jehovah Witnesses, how they go door to door, and the Mormons, the boys on in their white shirts on their bicycles going door to door, and how they put us as Bible believers to shame by their outreach. And the majority of Baptist churches aren't involved in reaching their community in an organized way. So they put us to shame. But they have a false gospel, which even more puts us to shame, because we have the truth and we're not getting it out there. Now, we do individually reach out to the community. Whenever repairmen come or something, you give them a track on their way out, and if you get a chance, you can witness to them. But as an organized group, the Christian church, the believers, we're not doing our job. But it's a shame. But then again, even though we're not, these people are deceiving people. They're lying to them, giving them a false gospel. And when Paul said, "We came unto you and we preached unto you the gospel of God." Now, where do you find the gospel? It's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He said, "We came to you," and we didn't get involved in any of these things, the deceit, the uncleanliness, the guile. We didn't come to please man. We don't upset you intentionally or go out and preach the gospel and let you know you're a sinner just to put you down, but we do it because we have a concern, a care, a love for you. And that's the way it should be. We don't use flattering words. We're not politically correct. We're cautious, but we're not politically correct. And we don't use a cloak of covetousness to try and present the gospel to you. So 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Is this around the same times as the so-called Gnostic Gospels, or just before or after?
The
fake writings.
Oh.
You've heard of the Gospels, the Gospel of Tom, and so on and so on. I don't know. Most people say don't bother reading them because they're not. I know that made a big influence during the early church ages.
Yeah, and you know, what comes to mind is the movie Elmer Gantry and things like that. And unfortunately, that puts a hurting on the church. And when I say the church, you know what I'm talking about, the local Bible-believing churches, because people will group all preachers into that. You know, they'll take someone got caught in the adulterous affair.
Swigert.
Jimmy Swigert. And he comes on TV on Sunday morning with tears. And it may have been sincere. I'm not making fun. He comes on and he's crying, and I have sinned. And, you know, my brother hit me with that, and I'm sure thousands of people come on. Yeah, that big phony got caught, just like all the religious people. And it hurts. It hurts Christianity. And so that's why we've got to be careful. This is why I emphasize you have to apply the Word of God to your life. We want to become more Christ-like in that they see us as being holy rather than being hypocrites, you know.
I was watching. Somehow or another, I got turned to the 700 Club one day. I don't know. I was just, and the son and the older lady they was talking about their topic of the day was they were wondering why the millennials were leaving the church.
Yeah.
And they come up with all these, and they had a list of why the millennials were leaving. You know, they felt that they didn't matter, that they weren't being listened to, they were being castigated because of their youth and whatnot,
yeah,
and all this other stuff. And they were coming up with their arguments to confront it. But never one time, I listened to it for about 20 or 30 minutes, and never one time did they go to Scripture.
Yeah.
They always went to some psychiatrist or analyst or something like that to come up to justify what they were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, when you say the church, that limits a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the church has gone away from what saith the gospel, what saith the Scriptures.
Exactly.
And that's been the problem. And I got hot enough, I about wrote them a letter and told them, you know, but I figured you wouldn't do any good,
right,
because I think there's a charismatic based organization, and it's interpretation, and
right,
they're not rightly dividing. They're just doing what to please the masses.
They're not Bible believers.
No.
They don't have a solid foundation, and
mm-hmm,
that's one of the problems when you're dealing with people. If you do not have a solid foundation on why you believe what you believe, you can always go to another book to find out, to find something that agrees with you.
I was at church in Denver when I worked out there many, many eons ago. So they had two services. They had a contemporary service,
yeah,
and they had a traditional service. And it was interesting because I was a complete outsider for the 4 months to see the difference between the two. The traditional church was slowly dying, and they were biblical.
Yeah.
But the modern service was growing, and it was interesting because it grew so large they wanted a separate building because they needed it. But the problem was the millennials or Generation X or whatever the late 1990s were provided little financial support for the churches. Like, when Brother Anthony gets up there and says, we get people who call and say, what programs do you have?
Right.
And he says, well, we have Sunday school and we have the service, we have a children's church. But I think the thing is, a lot of people are looking. That they want the Iwanas, they want the,
right.
the bowling squad, they want the women's sewing circle,
yep.
et cetera, et cetera. And I think we tie that in with the, you know, the viewpoints. Now they're sort of going for an ecumenicalism that everybody's right, but also anything you
yeah.
want to do, as long as it's not evil, and they have a subjective.
That's evil. Right.
I mean, I remember when you know, homosexuality, you know, the number of people in the United States who would be show any support was probably in the low teens, lower
yeah.
than even below that in terms of the general population. But I think they said over 50% of the American population see no issue with that.
Right.
So I think what's happening in churches is the concept, if you can't get them in, you can't reach them. But
yeah.
the problem, I think, as Paul was saying, is if you change the message, you're not really reaching them
exactly
properly. So you're watching the disintegration.
And it's not a biblical format. The biblical format is you go out, you win the lost, you get them in a local Bible-believing ministry so they can be taught. That's how Bible lays it out in the book of Acts. It's not you fill the church with lost people. If you do that, you're done. You're losing control, and you're going to have to bring in programs and activities and get a rock band up here to satisfy them. And you see the different so-called churches, what is it, the Lighthouse, Life Light, or whatever they have. Yeah.
I mean, I went to one in Ohio, and they had, it looked more like a disco club during
yeah.
the service.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
They're just looking for stuff to satisfy the flesh.
That's exactly
That's it.
Yep.
Bottom line, they want something that satisfies the
yep.
flesh.
Yep.
Because the truth is hard for them to accept and want to live by.
That's exactly right.
And the monthly, that little monthly thing the church gives out,
yeah.
they had a very good, for yesterday, they had a pretty good, this guy was talking about how the churches have fallen away. He said, most of the churches today are come as you are, leave as you is.
Yeah. yeah.
And, you know, they want to entertain, you know, they have no biblical foundation, they have no a moral compass that, you know, that you'll welcome all these people in and make them feel good. And it's kind of like, you know, what they say now about addiction. They say the medical profession has gotten in there and they say it's a disease instead of calling it a moral
right.
failure.
Right.
And, you know, it's just an attempt to make people feel good about themselves and rather just in giving them the God-inspired truth.
That's what it boils down to.
Well, the irony of this place is so you have the rock music style hymn, or religious music, we'll just say it that way.
Yeah. Yep.
The preaching was proper. It was like, okay, so I'm going to get up there and preach. I'll stick Bible. But before we preach, I'm not going to worry about what the Bible says about
yeah.
how we operate
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
after, I don't really.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we have to get our Bible. And they did. I mean, and they were, well, what they preached on the day I was there was biblically
sound.
So there's just enough Bible. Just
so, but
that.
It's just enough of a
yeah.
clear mind.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got an hour service.
Just as the sound.
On Bible.
And that's why we have hymns before the service, because the spiritual songs are to prepare your heart to receive the Word of God.
Yes.
In the land, you know, Danny, the song leader, he will sing, if there's 10 verses there, you'll sing all 10 verses. He doesn't have first and forget the third and all that stuff. They do their song service, and it's all these spiritual songs before the preaching, and it prepares the people to receive the Word of God, and that's how it's supposed to be. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, so who's he talking to? He's talking to the brethren. I declare unto you the gospel. Okay, here it comes. Which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand. So these are people that Paul won to the Lord, and they're getting a foundation. They're applying it to their lives because they stand in it. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved. So there's no other way but by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So you can believe in vain. That's emptiness. That's unfruitfulness. That's not getting born again. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and seen of above 500 brethren at once, and so on and so forth. But the gospel has 5 points. And when you present the gospel to a lost person, you've got to cover these. And in verse 1, you have, or verse 3, you have Christ died, first thing. They've got to understand that. Christ died. Why did he die? For our sins. And then they lay the foundation according to the Scriptures. And it's important that you get all this in. And then number 3, he was buried. Number 4, he rose again. And number 5, according to the Scriptures. So you've got to get that in when you're presenting the gospel. And other gospels, we'll look at those and show you why they're not right. But today there are so many bloodless gospels out there, and we'll take a look at some of them. Here's what they're saying. When many times you get saved, you have that desire to go out and reach people, and they'll tell you, well, just go and ask God for forgiveness. That's going to get you nothing. Ask God for forgiveness. Or they'll say, go and pray and beg God and plead with him to forgive you. One of the biggest deceptions is go and ask Jesus into your heart. Now, I heard a testimony, and I had it confirmed by another person, not talking about anything, but it came up, and he said the same thing. I heard one preacher give a testimony. He said he's talking to a Satanist one time, and he asked the Satanist, he says, are there any, he called them demons, we know devils, are there any devils named Jesus? He says, oh yes, there's a lot of them out there. And so then I was talking to another guy, and he told me basically the same thing, that he had talked to a Satanist, and that came up, and he said the same thing. So if you're going to ask Jesus into your heart without the gospel message, without the blood, could you be asking a devil to come into you? Very scary when you think about it. Is it? I can only go by what they told me. And
so a Satanist, they pray to the devil like we pray to Christ.
Yes, yes.
Wonder what they thank him for.
Everything. they're as much deceived as we believe.
I mean, what has okay. he done for them?
Power.
Yeah.
Power. Yeah. Money. Sex.
Revenge.
You know, Satan tempted Jesus. He offered him Y, and Z.
This is Satan's world. This isn't God's world right now. He doesn't. We say God's in control. God allows things. He doesn't control. John's going to get hit by a car today. He'll allow things so that we place more faith and trust in him.
Just in the same thing, if you think about that with a concept called a trope, which basically means
yeah.
a theme, and one of the tropes in writing you often see is someone selling their soul to Satan
exactly.
to get something.
Yeah. Well, you look at Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hollywood is full of Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
In the political world.
Daniel Webster.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's an older story.
Yeah.
Even musicians.
Yeah, but
yeah,
the thing is,
exactly.
though, is that some people think, well, I will do this. I will pledge myself to Satan in order to get whatever.
Yes.
Musicians sometimes, actors, actresses.
And that's what happens.
And but the thing is, they don't realize that if he already has them.
Right.
And
he's using them.
Yeah.
He's just a user. Yeah, he doesn't care about them.
His agenda.
He'd just soon see them burning in hell. Here, I'll give you $1 million. You're going to drop in hell one of these days, and I'll be laughing at you as I'm burning in torment, too.
That's where my uncle was at.
Yeah. And it's too bad. It's too bad. So asking Jesus into your heart, or ask God to save you, another one, you know. If you got someone you want to get saved, just tell them to ask God to save them. One of the biggest ones, it used to be, pray this prayer after me. Okay. Now you may have the right words, but unless that person's heart
yes.
is seeking, then it's useless. And then you've got, this one's been coming out, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on God in prayer, and he'll save you. But again, it goes back to a false gospel. If they don't have the whole truth, the blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection, based on the scriptures, there's a problem. Now, again, they leave out the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the only way, through the blood, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's always grace involved. Any dispensation where God is working, it's by grace. But it's in this dispensation, it's through the blood that we get forgiveness of sins. No other way. Being justified freely, Romans 3:24-25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth as a propitiation, a big word, means to be redeemed, saved from sin, to buy back as something in a pawn shop. When you think of this, you think back, or questions will come up, well, what happens to babies when they die? What happens to them? Where do they go? How can they? They've never been born again. They've never been washed in the blood. So here's that question. I come up with this years and years ago, and after I moved to Florida, Brother James preached on this, and it confirmed what I had found in Scripture. What happens? Romans 7:8-9. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that's a coveting carnal things, desire for things of the world. For without the law, sin was dead. So that baby is not under the law. They don't realize that they've broken God's law, that they've sinned against an almighty God. For I was alive once, for without the law, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So that young person is not accountable until they know that they've broken God's laws. And then Romans 4:15 says, because the law worketh wrath, where there is no law, there is no transgression. They're not accountable. And then Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Complete confidence in the Word of God, knowing that until you violate knowingly God's laws and rules and sin against God, you're safe. And what happens to a person that's born with mental defects, never understands anything, they live for 30, 40 years and then they die, God's going to allow them in hell? No, they're not accountable.
No.
And then that to top it off, 2 Samuel 12:23, David, when he had that affair with Bathsheba, was fasting and praying, and he says, but now the baby, he is dead, the baby's dead, died. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So David knew, given by God's assurance, that he would go to be with the baby, because the baby... How did he know that? Because he had God's assurance. He was the apple of God's eye. He was about the only one in the Old Testament that had eternal security. He wasn't born again as you and I are through the blood of Christ, but he had God's total assurance that he was saved and going to be with the Lord. Now, we'll finish up there and we'll pick it up next week. But now someone's going to come to you, some one of you this week, and say something about babies. So now you have the assurance and what to tell them from the Word of God. All right, Floyd, pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you again, Lord, this morning for being able to be in Sunday school. And we do ask, Lord, that you would just bless the teachers this morning, Lord. Continue to use them. Work through them, dear Lord, and speak to them, Lord, what we need, dear Lord, through the Scriptures. We pray for the preaching of the Word this morning and the next hour, and Lord, that you would bless. Meet all the needs, dear Lord, we pray, of all the prayer requests. Do exactly that needs to be. And Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to move within the service this morning and be one lost, Lord, that they might come to know you as their Savior. And we'll love you and thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.